Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, where you'll find unique insights on what's happening in the ever-changing world of local marketing from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by iPublish Media Solutions, the leader in self-service advertising, and by Vivo, bringing local spot buying to music television. And now, here are your hosts, Gordon and Corey.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the end of summer, and we're winding down to, start the first of the first day of autumn coming up pretty soon. Welcome, yeah. Corey.
Well, welcome, and happy first day of autumn-ish.
Ish, yeah.
Ish, somewhere around there.
I think everybody's kind of happy to see each season end, thinking the next one is going to be better.
Especially this year, right? It's got to be better.
Well, on the show today, we've got an interview with Brian Gorman, who's one of our sponsors, iPublish Media. And we're going to be talking about what iPublish does, but also about Obits, one of my, obsessions. I did a lot of studying on a business model for Obits back in the 90s.
And not in a creepy way, right?
Not in a creepy way. Okay. But I am familiar with all the death jokes.
I'm sure.
And also, Corey, wanted to talk about something I know you've been working on, which is just fascinating, and that's the whole issue of content marketing and branded mm-hmm. content. We're doing some work for the local media consortium. What a great organization that is. Those folks are doing some terrific things for media companies, and part of that was asking us to look into the whole branded content marketing issue. And Corey, that's just so important because people now have the ability to, you know, develop their own content and push it out directly to consumers because of social media and email and all other, you know, internet related channels. So tell us a little bit about what you found when you were doing that research. What's how big is the marketplace for this, and what are the key things you found?
Well, when I started looking at it and getting into it, there's one thing that occurred to me pretty fast, and that is, content marketing is a lot like porn. And
are you sure you were looking at the right stuff?
Hey, that's content.
I'm looking at the wrong page.
It's content. No, but it's hard to define, but you know it when you see it. That's the thing. So it's a lot like that. Even the Content Marketing Institute, their definition of it is, it sounds like it's specific, but then you think, well, wait a minute. They call it a strategic marketing approach focused on creating and distributing valuable, relevant, and consistent content to attract and retain a clearly defined audience and ultimately to drive profitable customer action. Oh, okay. Well, what the hell doesn't fit into that once you start producing stuff? So it became really kind of nebulous. But one thing that, two factors that came out, I should say, not one, you have to look at whether the media that is being used to distribute the content is owned or bought, and then how prevalent the brand is. That's the other axes. And I think once you start plotting things on that, you can start to figure out what content marketing is. And when we put the numbers together, we're looking at something that's about, the way we define it, around $63 billion a year.
$3 billion. That's roughly half the size of, more than half the size of all local advertising.
Yeah, it's big. Now, this includes all the big players, all the, you know, the Red Bulls and, you know, everything out there that's doing it. But
so give us an example. I think one of the easiest ones to know is, now we're beginning to see quite a bit on say news pages, which is where a lot of the focus is. You see story, and then you see sponsored content. Okay, we got that. That's pretty easy. But give us some other examples of branded content.
Well, there's everything. We used to go, a long time ago, 3 years ago, the hot thing to talk about was native advertising, right?
Native advertising.
There you go. That's content. Advertorials, testimonials, hell, white papers on your site could be considered branded content. It's distributed on your site. It's information. It's content. And here's the interesting thing, Gordon, and why it's so hot right now, especially for the local markets and local media, is because of 2020, because of COVID. I think what we saw in our SMB panels, we're starting to understand that local businesses are thinking, oh, wait, I have to tell my story. There's a story I need to tell. They needed to tell it early on in COVID, right? Are we open? What are we doing? How are we keeping things
healthy? That's advertising, isn't it?
Yeah, see, but it, if I'm conveying content, if it's content that is, you know, valuable to my my consumers, then it's considered content marketing. You see where it gets really gray really fast.
Yeah, I think what we're probably talking about a bit more in the purest sense, just to keep it really simple, is kind of telling an you said it, telling an advertiser's story, the story of their business, the story of their expertise, their advice, like a LASIK surgeon saying, hey, I have this, you know, great new piece of equipment, and here's why it's so safe, and here's what, you know, I know about it, here's how it can help you. So that's more, you know, related content. And so somebody's got to write a headline for that and kind of make it look like a news story, although it'll have that little blue tag about it says sponsored content. You know,
sure.
LASIK surgeon gets, you know, new ultrasonic LASIK equipment, you know, or something like that. Oh, there's a headline for you. So those types of things I'm just seeing is more and more prevalent. Give us an example of the types of businesses that are seeing increases this year. So you're saying content marketing, branded content is increasing. What types of businesses are spending more?
Anybody who, especially this year, remember 2020 is a kind of a goofy year, right? But we've seen a lot of healthcare providers, mental health services, things like that actually increase some of their spend because, again, they want to get their story out. They want to show what we have to offer. And then there are some places, well, overall, content marketing is doing a lot better than overall, you know, than regular, and I'm using air quotes that everybody can't see, than regular marketing and regular advertising. It's not, it's been hit, but it hasn't been hit as hard.
Probably easier to sell right now.
Well, yeah, especially if you can provide the content, if you have writers on staff or you have some way to generate content for local businesses, that's really valuable right now. And I think it's a hot commodity.
Yeah, that's really kind of cool. So categories that may be in decline, anything that you see declining in branding?
Well, the same ones that had to draw their money back for 2020 also had to draw their money back in, you know, content.
So travel,
marketing,
hotels.
Exactly.
Like
all those things, those restaurants, they're, you know, restaurants aren't spending a lot of money, you know, driving up content or creating content right now. In 2021, it could change. Once, like I said, people start to open their eyes and go, wow, there is something here. Especially, here's the other thing, Gordon, and now I'm ranting, I've had too much coffee. Video. When you overlay being able to tell your story with video, holy hell, you see some jumps.
Yeah, that's I can certainly see that. So across all channels, newspaper, radio, TV, outdoor, digital, etc., where's the money spent percentage wise?
Well, right now, I mean, you can imagine.
Gonna be a lot in print.
Actually, I think out of all of the money that's being spent out there, yeah, there's a lot of money. There's billions. Here you go. There are billions of dollars being spent in content marketing and print. However, together, other print newspapers, it's less than 10% of all content marketing out there.
So yeah. I'm going to guess that most of it's now in digital?
Yeah, it's two-thirds of it's in digital. Because think about
two-thirds.
It. Remember, the definition, it's all over the map.
Yep.
And yeah, there's about 66% in digital.
Well, before we get to the interview, let's shift gears real quick. Corey, we just did a business barometer. The highlight on that is that I think one thing that I saw in it was that there was going to be more. Maybe I misinterpreted this. There is right. going to be more spending or more advertisers are planning on increasing their ad budgets going into the holiday season than there were this time last year. Is that right?
Yeah. That's kind of an interesting find right now. That and it's the attitudes are just so volatile out there. I don't know if you saw that inside the survey where there's still about half of the businesses out there say that the next 6 months, the current economic conditions are poor. So even though they're saying that, they are thinking about increasing spend.
Cool. Well, let's get to our interview after these messages. I've got an interview with Brian Gorman, who I've known for quite a while. He's with iPublish Media. We're talking about what iPublish does, but also about obituaries. So that's going to be kind of interesting right after this.
iPublish Media Solutions is the leader in self-service advertising, offering solutions for obituaries, real estate, legal notices, and other advertising categories. iPublish works with hundreds of media companies, helping them to acquire new advertisers and generating millions in ad revenue every year. From real estate agents to SMBs to private party advertisers, iPublish can help you sell highly profitable campaigns to large, mid-size, and even the smallest advertisers. Visit iPublishMedia.com for details.
Want audience reach that can rival local TV but maintain the targeting and addressability of a premium digital partner? Vevo is the world's largest all-premium music video provider, starring the world's biggest celebrities. Vevo provides advertisers access to 149 million Americans a month, with 61 million of those viewers exclusively on connected TV screens, all in a brand-safe environment. Contact us at Vevo and bring local spot buying to music television, whether it's at DMA, state, or zip code level targeting. Just visit Vevo.com. That's V-E-V-O.com.
Okay, everybody, I've got with me Brian Gorman, my good friend from iPublish Media. Brian and I, Brian, we go way back, don't we? Long time.
Probably close to 10 years. Yeah.
10 years. Yeah, that's way back.
Yeah.
So before we begin, so thanks for being a sponsor. I really appreciate it. And I really love what iPublish is doing. Some really dynamic things and continues to seem to be growing as well. But before we talk about iPublish, tell us a little bit about yourself, Brian.
Okay. Well, I'm a sales professional. I've been in software sales for my whole career. And empty nester. I have three grown children. I live in Pembroke, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. And I was one of the co-founders of iPublish.
And I just had a daughter that got married just under the wire when we could still have weddings, right?
Yes, March 7th in Boston. 150 people hugging, kissing, wow. Dancing, doing things that you can't do anymore.
Taboo today, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks.
So tell us about iPublish. You're a co-founder. So let's go back to the early days. What was the problem back then you guys were trying to solve in 2006 when iPublish got underway?
The problem that was being solved was it was a self-service platform from the very beginning where an advertiser could come to the site and build and buy an ad. And we had really strong backgrounds in publishing. We knew a lot about publishing and production and operations. What we didn't know was the advertising business. And that was the challenge we had when we started the company.
So it was just building ads and placing them first, almost, you know, programmatic or automatic, you know, building and placing of ads in the paper. What's changed since then? I mean, what's different 14 years, you know, later?
Yeah, well, this was all focused mainly on print. We used Adobe InDesign Server as the basis for generating templates and publishing. And what's changed is that the business is, you know, the advertising market in the US has just changed dramatically. So we had to adapt to that by adding digital campaigns to our platform. But we did it and we designed it in such a way that we were able to do that. And we didn't leave print to go do digital. We basically just added it and it became an enhancement to our overall solution. So we now have a fully built out digital offering as well, which has enabled us to, you know, get into social media, go after different types of accounts. And we keep coming back to our partners with more and newer technology. So we've kept customers for 10, 12, 13 years. And we have a very high retention rate because we keep developing on the same platform.
And you guys were just acquired by Legacy.com. Tell me about that. What was the strategy there and how has that advantaged iPublish?
Well, we've been working with Legacy for a long time. To go back to the origins of handling self-service for obituaries, we were approached by McClatchy and they asked us if we could do obituaries. Up to that point, we were doing print display ads for SMBs, really. We did some real estate. And we didn't have a clue what an obituary was. So they walked us through the process. We had to adapt our technology to do them. And we started producing obituaries. And then they told us, yeah, can you do an upload to legacy.com? And we were like, well, who's legacy.com? So anyway, we started working with Legacy. And we became very close partners of theirs. We upload more obituaries to Legacy than anyone does. Last year, we processed over 600,000 obituaries in the U.S., which is about 30-40% of the market. And we always had a lot of respect for Legacy. We saw what they were doing. We actually thought of competing with them. But once we realized how successful they were and the overall scope of their business, we were like, you know what, let's partner with them instead. So we approached them about 3 or 4 years ago, formed a closer partnership, which eventually led to them acquiring us in December.
What percentage of your business is obituaries?
It's about 40%. So that was the challenge that Legacy had, because they saw it, they loved our technology. They always thought we had the best platform out there. They knew us really well, just like we knew them. Great company to work with. We both felt the same way about it. But, you know, Stouffer Bartol, the founder and CEO of Legacy, said to us, I don't know anything about autos, recruitment, and I don't want to. So basically, the acquisition was they acquired us, but we're still running on our own P&L, and we're running the operation like we did before. And we're, you know, working with them more closely on bigger projects and sharing some of our technology with them. But overall, really nothing's, very little has changed since they acquired us.
I know an extraordinarily strange amount of information on obituaries because, Brian, 25 years ago, I wrote a plan about creating the
I remember you telling me this once.
For obituaries. Yeah. So I know all the dead jokes, and the cemetery jokes and everything else. I went out and visited funeral directors. But it is a fascinating business. And my theory, and I wonder if you're seeing this, is that, you know, starting about 30 years ago, there was this greater move toward cremation. And most people were buried. Now, I think it might be most people are actually cremated. Yeah. And my view was that, you know, instead of having a grave or a cemetery to visit, you don't have anything. So you would probably create some type of virtual gravesite online or some lasting tribute of some sort. Does that play into anything that you guys are doing? Are you seeing anything like that out there where people are more apt to, you know, wax poetic in obituaries or do something or make comments?
Yeah. Well, actually, what's interesting about Legacy's business is that they used to have a very vertical business where the print obit was the driver behind the business.
There's a joke there somewhere. Sorry, vertical I'm not gonna make it.
And so it was very driven by the print obituary, and print obituaries, like all print advertising categories in the newspaper market, keeps declining actually at a very fast rate, especially over the last 5 years. And so they've taken a whole new approach. They've come out with a completely new software architecture, a new website design, and they now look at obituaries as a memorialization with three phases: end of life planning, at need resources being the obit and the funeral and all that, and then memorialization itself. And they've come out with the idea of developing community pages based on a person's life, which are automatically generated from the copy, the content in the obituary. And then this will create a lot more web pages on their site with a lot more traffic, which will continue to drive their e-commerce business of flowers and ancestry.com. And interestingly, we're doing something very similar. We launched a targeted obit product using Facebook in January, and we're using the Facebook audience database to do exactly the same thing, be able to create a audience based on the person's life. So what university did they go to? Were they in the military service? Did they belong to the Kiwanis Club? And then that drives traffic to the Facebook campaign. And then we're getting like 9% click-through rates on these Facebook campaigns, just unheard of. And then so that plays in. We have very similar visions of the future. Culturally, we were working, you know, we knew each other very, very well. And we see the future the same way.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. You know, after someone dies, their Facebook page often lives on and people still post on their birthdays and wish them happy birthdays. Even when someone, you know, dies, parents or spouse or friends or whatever, you know, will keep the cell phone bill going just so they can call. So I don't mean to laugh. Listen to the, you know, away message. I'm not here. You know, they're living virtually in some way.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting with our Facebook product. The thing that's amazed the families is that they're hearing through, now this is a timeline ad. This is not a share. This is a targeted Avid ad that runs on Facebook. And they're hearing in the comments from people that they may have heard of, but they never met them. They went to college with their father or mother, and they're writing the most incredible things about them, you know, these wonderful comments. And it's just been incredibly fulfilling. So we're getting all this really positive feedback from both the families and the funeral home directors that are typically managing the process. You know?
I think you really have something there. Is there any place someone could go to see that? What do they do to kind of experience or see that type of thing? Is it through the local newspaper site or is it on legacy.com?
It's a well, Legacy has a Facebook product that is basically they duplicate their website. So they do that through newspapers. But our product being a targeted ad is, unless you fit the profile, you're not going to see it. Right. So there isn't anything that we really can show anyone. I mean, we demonstrate on how we capture the content and how we do it in the workflow, but we couldn't actually show you the campaign because of that.
Great. So what's your elevator pitch? You're on the third floor, CEO of a big company steps on and says, "Oh, Brian Gorman, I publish. What do you do?
Well,
The guy that you need, the guy you really need to pitch to. The door's closed, Brian. You've got about 35 seconds. What's your pitch?
So we help publishers increase their advertising revenue and decrease their operational costs. And we do this through a self-service platform that an advertiser can come to. They can build and buy an ad campaign based on the publisher's information, data, everything. Does everything your call center does, but the call center never has to touch it. You don't have to touch it, and the ad shows up, and it's ready to be published. So much lower cost of operation, and you get to people that you can't get to either over the phone or with a territory rep. So we have use case after use case where it increases your revenue and lowers your operational costs.
Excellent. Brian, thanks for your time. How do people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
My email is bgorman@ipublishmedia.com, or you can just do sales@ipublishmedia.com, and that's a great way to get a hold of me.
Great. Brian, thanks for being on the show. Thanks again for being a sponsor, and I really appreciate it.
Okay, you bet, Gordon. Have a great day.
What an interesting interview. In that interview, Gordon, I know you know this, but he talked about the development of iPublishing, where it's gone and where it started and how it weaves itself. And I kept thinking about content marketing because we were just talking about that. And that's basically the business he's in a lot of respects.
Especially with obituaries, yeah.
Yeah, especially with obituaries. And I thought about this. I've got a new product for them. You ready?
Go ahead.
Perpetual obituaries. Ask me. Go ahead.
What the hell is that?
Well, he talked about Facebook and partnering with Facebook and being able to put together an obituary out of a Facebook, the partnership there. Could you imagine that at any time, if you wanted to, you could click a button and get Gordon. You haven't died yet, but you could see your own obituary and what would come to pass and what would be written about you.
So, oh man, think of the advertising possibilities. You know, you could read that and realize that, you know, wow, you know, I never became a fireman like I planned to. So, you know, I better look at my bucket list. And, you know, if you had created a bucket list and then someone knew that those were all the things that you wanted to do and you just checked your obituaries, hey, Bob, time to go back to school to get that, you know, CPA degree or life-saving degree or something like that.
And then what you could do is be very nefarious and AI could start entering into it. And then you could actually shape people's lives based on AI, not on what they really want to do.
Okay.
And then I could eventually take over the world and be the ruler. Yeah. So there you go.
Perpetual obituaries. I think we'll have perpetual obituaries if we don't get rid of this damn COVID-19 stuff.
Yeah,
you know, every year there's less than 1% of the population, well, over 2.5 million people die. That's 2.5 million stories to tell. News stories. Think about it. It's news when mm-hmm. someone has died. And think of the reaction and the interaction. And wow, we could really go off and do a whole show on obituaries, but we have run out of time.
Yes, we have.
And so we're going to have to put this one in the grave.
Oh, wow. You were sitting on that, weren't you?
You want to give it a headstone? Close us out and give us a headstone, Corey.
Oh, God. I No, that. Let's leave it there. You did it. I'll defer to you and your dead jokes.
Okay, everybody. Until next time. Thanks.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by iPublish Media and Vivo. If you have submissions you'd like Corey and Gordon to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email the hosts at podcasts@burrellassociates.com and let them know. Thanks for listening. And remember, market well.